Welcome to the podcast of Faith Presbyterian Church here in Clinton, Louisiana. I'm glad you found us. My name is Tony Piles, and I'm the pastor here. I pray this recording brings you encouragement and growth in Christ, and we would love for you to join us in person anytime you are in town. Check our website, faithchurchclinton.org, for our current schedule of worship and Bible studies. And may God bring you blessing through what you're about to hear. Thank you.
We thank you for the ways that you are at work all over the world. And we thank you for the way that you view Stuart and his family in that work and encouraging others. We look forward to hearing about what you've been doing in Peru. And we pray for your blessing on our time together this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Does this help? Or can you hear me? Okay. All right. Well, I want to just start with reading a passage to give, mainly I wanted to come and give an update and share what we're doing now and how the work is going in Peru. But I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says this, just the first six verses. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I just want to stop right there and just mention that is an example of what y'all are doing here as a church, proclaiming the light of Jesus Christ. You're not proclaiming yourselves to the city of Clinton. And in the same way, we were called to go to Peru and to proclaim the same light of the same Lord Jesus Christ. And preaching that gospel, God is doing his work around the world, not only in Peru, but in his church throughout the world. And so we consider it a privilege, and we give thanks to God and praise him that we got to go and be a part of what he's doing in Peru, shining this light, proclaiming Jesus as Lord. And we thank you for partnering with us and supporting us in that work in Peru. And several times when we've come back to visit, and I've asked the question of kind of asked the question out loud rhetorically, why Peru? And I always answered the question, because God called us there. There's a need in Peru for the gospel, but there's also a need here. There's a need in Japan or in Africa, in Europe, everywhere. Well, while we've been down there for the last 13 years, we sensed this is where God has called us to. But it seemed like last year we visited, it's been 2 years now. It was 21. We came back to visit, and we got to use the office for a little bit. For a month or two, we were here. Actually, it was a little longer than we were here in 21 for a little bit, and I sensed the call to go back to continue the work there. But it wasn't long after we got there. It really seemed like God shut the light off on our sense of call. And I know that can sound subjective. A lot of times people, you just don't want to be there anymore. But it seems more than that. God works in his calling and how he works in us. And I really started to sense a call to come back to the States. I recognized the needs here, the division in our politically in our country. But I really also, while we were there, Meg and I were doing marriage counseling with several couples, and several couples did well. But there was this one couple that we actually, before we came back on furlough in the year 2018 and 19, we were here for a year. We were doing counseling with this couple. They were just not even engaged. They were just dating. And we told them, we were trying to work with them. They had had some problems. And so we started meeting with them and went with them for a month or so. And then they broke up again and they were fighting again. And we said, don't try. Just let go of this. This is not working. While we're in the States, they got married. And when we got back to Peru, they had had another, they were actually no longer living together. Every other member of the session had tried to work with them and said, no, I can't work with them anymore. And so we said, let's jump in. And Meg and I jumped in and we tried for 2 years working with them. And through that, I realized they actually both have stayed in the church. It's a long story. I don't need to get into more details about them, but they stayed in the church. They wrestled. And I realized it's not just faith and repentance that is their problem. They both repent of their sin, but there's something else that they weren't willing to see. And that is also is mixed together with sin and lack of repentance. But at the same time, they were saying they were trying to repent and they were clinging on to Christ. They were staying in the church. But I realized I'm not equipped for certain situations. And a lot of pastors will rightly say, this is outside of what I'm equipped to do, and we need a professional counselor to deal with this situation. But I've sensed this calling. Ever since I first went to Peru, I've always been focused on discipleship and one-on-one pastoral counseling. And so I'm realizing as I'm growing in ministry, and I've been a pastor for a while now, I realize that this is something that I need to get equipped in. And so that has a lot to do with our decision to come back to the States and for me to study counseling and recognizing the need here in the States too. One of our goals is to, my goal is to serve our presbytery and serve in counseling in Southern Louisiana area. And we still want to connect with Peru. But one thing I also recognized is we were in Peru for 13 years. And it's not that long, but God let us have a part in what he's doing in building his church there. And other times I've been here and given reports about the apprenticeship program I was doing. I was working with four young men that were apprentices. One of them is a guy in that couple that had a lot of trouble. But two of them are pastors now. One of them has taken over the Ariapago, the seminary. He's a pastor, and he's the new director of our Christian Areopagus. That comes from Acts 17. Another translation is Mars Hill, but Paul at the Areopagus proclaimed the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 17. But so that's the name of our seminary work. And so Alexis Alayo is a pastor. He was one of the apprentices, and now he's a pastor. He's married, and he and his wife gave me this tie when we were leaving, when they saw us off to the airplane. But he is serving in one of the churches and a pastor. And then another apprentice, Luis Mendoza, is now ordained and a pastor, associate pastor, assistant pastor in the church where I was an associate pastor with Pastor Ricardo. And so he's growing. And actually another, Alonso Ramirez, is a Peruvian pastor who started Peru Mission. He went to RTS and recruited several other pastors to go join him in Cajamarca. And then the work ended up moving to Trujillo, where we are, and on the coast in northern Peru. Cajamarca is in the mountains in northern Peru. Alonso is trying to get Luis to come to serve in a church where Luis's wife is from in a little town that doesn't have a pastor now. I don't know if any of y'all have met Steve Hill. Was a pastor, and for a short time he was in Centerville. Yeah, yeah. Well, Steve was a missionary with Alonso in Cajamarca, and Steve went to this little town called Celandine in the mountains in Peru and was serving as a pastor there. And then they came back. Steve and Diane are up in North Mississippi on his family land. His parents are doing, he came back to help his parents. But so Steve left, and they've been having trouble finding another pastor to take over that church in Celandine. And so Alonzo is actually trying to steal Luis from our church in Trujillo. But so several of the people that I got to work with in Trujillo, now they're pastors. And so I started seeing some of that is that God let me be a part of what we were doing, of what he's doing to build his church. But now there are Peruvians. We've always had this vision. Peru Mission has never wanted to go down and say, we're the North Americans and we're going to come and set y'all straight. But we are cultivating, raising up Peruvian pastors and working with Peruvian pastors. And so it's exciting. I think it's way better for a local pastor to be the pastor of the church. And so now I'm excited to see that God has let us be a part of using, of equipping his church there. Also, there are three more pastoral candidates in our churches in Trujillo. That one of them is a young guy who was a teenager or even a middle schooler when we were first starting the work in Trujillo, and I got to train. And they're actually our church ordained three new deacons too. And another one is another one of these little guys. They were junior high when I was doing a Bible study with them. We were working through Philippians, and now one of them is a pastoral candidate. Another one is a deacon and studying to be a lawyer, and working in administration with the mission. But then Pastor Ricardo is a senior pastor where I was. Pastor Percy is a pastor in another church and a kind of an extension of our church. And they continue to work. And as well as one of the missionaries, Dale Ellison, is still there working as an elder with that church. He's also helped working with the administration of the mission. Oscar Loyola was one of the young guys in our church. He wasn't one of the apprentices, but he was always involved in the church, and I was discipling him, and now he's working as an assistant to Pastor Percy. He married a girl from North Carolina who came down as to work with the school as a teacher, and they got married, and he's really doing a great job gathering young people. And this is a neighborhood. Arevalo is kind of a middle-class neighborhood. It's on the outskirts of the big city, Trujillo. And then Parque Industrial is industrial park that was an invasion town. Lots of people moved in, made their houses where it should have been industrial park, and just took over and lived there. But there are also a lot of gangs out there. And this neighborhood, Pastor Percy has struggled for years and years. It's still not a particular church because they don't have elders yet, because they're just having a lot of trouble getting enough stability to have elders in the church. But Oscar has been there, and he has gathered the young people where they have a huge class of youth that are joining the church. Not only coming to youth group, but some of them have actually started joining the church. He's doing a great job, but he hasn't taken the step to become a pastoral candidate. He's doing pastoral ministry, but he feels like he's not. He's gone through our seminary, our Areopagus classes. But that's something I want to ask y'all to pray for him, because he is. We see the calling and we see the equipping, but he's still trying to accept. He's also interested in administrative work as in administration, but still serving the church. So maybe God has called him to be a deacon or to be an elder in the church. But that's something to just pray for clarity for him. His wife, Rebecca, is in the States now. He has been trying for years to get a visa, and it's a nightmare. The way the embassy works, it's like almost like a lottery. you come up to an officer, and some of them don't even listen. They just said no. And then sometimes somebody will say yes. It just seems like the decision on whether somebody gets a visa or not is random. That's the impression that he gets. But anyway, his wife is pregnant and had some complications, so she came back to the States, and he's been trying to get back just to be there. But so pray for Oscar and Rebecca. But they're still committed, a part of the church. There's actually a new volunteer named Tito from Chicago. I think he's Vietnamese descent. He's second generation, but he has gone down to Peru. He speaks in Spanish, and he's volunteering and helping a lot with discipleship and electronics or stuff with the internet. He's doing a lot of data stuff. He used to work in that field, but he's serving the mission a lot there. But then also in another church, Pastor Esdras, Meg and I got to do marriage counseling with Esdras and his wife Megan, and Alexis are both pastors, and Wes Baker is another missionary who's kind of the founder of what we were doing in Trujillo. He was one of the guys that Alonso invited to join him. They're working with a church called in downtown Trujillo, and that church is growing, and they have started a plant in another town about 2 hours south of Trujillo in Chimbote. They've planted a church. A pastoral candidate from there, one of those three candidates, is leading the church plant in Chimbote, and they've just started a new, added 9 members and started meeting in a new rental place just last week, a new worship location. So that's neat that God is using the church in Trujillo to plant a church in Chimbote. And that started during COVID. They were having services online, and several people from Chimbote that didn't have a Presbyterian church but were learning Reformed theology were logging into the church service in Trujillo and listening to the services. They started contacting and coming to our seminary classes on Monday nights and really begged the church to come plant a church in their town. And so that's how the Lord used them to start this plant in Chimbote. Peru Mission is also doing a lot of ministry, what we call holistic ministry, where our first call is to plant churches, to build the city of God. Based on Augustine's work, the city of God, we recognize this need to, in order to plant churches, we have to attend to the needs of the community around us. And one of the biggest needs, education, economy, and health. And so the Peru Mission started a medical clinic and started attending to people to share the gospel, but also having doctors come and attending to patients. But because the hospitals there are horrible, you have to go get in line at 5 a.m. to get a ticket so that you can schedule an appointment to meet the doctor. And then so 6 months down the road, then you can see the doctor who will then talk to you about scheduling a visit. It is just, it's crazy. It's really bad. But so the mission started medical ministry and has a medical clinic to see patients, and that's growing. They started a school, and then they started a child sponsorship program, and that has drawn in parents of these children who are either coming to the school or coming to the child sponsorship program, tutoring and classes that we're providing. Some of those parents are coming to the church, and so it's created. But one of the most exciting things about all that is the members of the church. I remember when we first started doing it, our visionary leader said, we need to do this, and the deacons in the church were saying, we don't have enough manpower to do it. How are we going to start this? Because we're struggling to keep up with this. But then as we did it, many of the church members who weren't involved jumped in and started and got involved. We have a huge Sunday school class. Like, it was approaching 100, I think. The numbers were close to 100 children in a church of 80 members. And so a lot of the members of the church were teaching Sunday school and got involved, and that has been growing, exciting. So Tommy was volunteering with that ministry. Those are things that God is doing through the church there. Also, university ministry. They're reaching out and discipling college-age students. But as I mentioned that Meg and I were doing marriage counseling with several couples, and she was meeting with several young ladies in discipleship, I was also doing that. But we've just noticed over the last year and a half, sensing this shift in God's call on us and leading us to come back and serve in Louisiana. And so I realized a need to get equipped in counseling. So we came back, and now I am studying at RTS, a Master of Arts in Counseling. This year has kind of been a transition year. In a way, we needed to have taken a sabbatical year to recover from the move. The children are all in schools in Brandon, Mississippi, and when we moved in May, in February, actually next week will be a whole year since we came back. We moved up to Brandon in May, and RTS's program starts in June, and everybody there encouraged me, don't jump into that program, because it's a very intense program for 2 years. So what they suggested I do is take classes this past year, fall and this spring, and then I'll enter the program in June. But I've been taking three classes in the fall and now 3 classes in the spring. And Tony was affirming that's like full-time work and graduate and master's. But the program actually would be 5 classes in per semester. So I'm going to lighten the load, plus having 4 children. So next 2 years will be lighter than it would have been the normal 2-year program. I'm doing it in 3 years. But so I'm studying counseling at RTS. And Meg started back in research, a postdoctoral fellowship at University of Mississippi Medical Center, and she did her degree in microbiology, but now she's working in the physiology lab. And when I first thought about this, I thought this can be a way that I can go back to school, is let her go back to work. So I can study, do the master's. But then I didn't realize how much she had been suffering the last 13 years, because now she's back in her love, back in the lab, and really loving it and enjoying working. But being a fellowship, it's a limited salary, and so it's not quite enough for us to for doing everything. And so I was going to look for another job and just totally stop raising support with permission. But several of our supporters told us they wanted to keep supporting us in seminary. And so as I thought about that, I thought about looking for another job or raising support to go back to school, and talked to our team leader, and he was excited about us staying on with Peru Mission and continuing to raise support to actually work for Peru Mission virtually, doing some things. He called it curriculum development, and help write things, study some books, and find materials in Spanish to help the church in Peru. And so we decided to do that, and it's been a little more challenging than realized with keeping up with classes at RTS. But that's the plan right now. I would prefer to not keep doing it, but right now that's the only way that I can see how do we can make this work. And I'm thankful for support. And our plan is really to continue to serve Peru by visiting, by meeting online with the pastors there. I actually started meeting with one of the volunteers. My real goal is to come back to serve Southern Louisiana Presbyterian Counseling. And there's some conversations with folks at Plains about starting a counseling center. One of the elders at Parish Church in Lafayette asked me, when am I going to come down there? And even talking to Kelly Dotson, Kelly and Amy said hello, and we visited with them last night. And there's an interest in even at South Baton Rouge possibly coming back to maybe spending a little bit of time at each place in counseling. So that's our goal, is to come back and serve the presbytery in counseling and continue to serve the ministry in Peru with Spanish, possibly even doing counseling in Spanish here in Louisiana. But that's what we're looking at. While in the next couple, several years, it'll be before we finish what we're doing in Mississippi and move back to this area. I think that's most of everything. I don't know if you have any questions. I do thank you for for praying for us, praying for our family, and in this transition that it's been over this year of moving back to the States and getting settled and learning how to live in the U.S. again. I do regret that it's taken a whole year to get back here, but it's been a lot of scheduling conflicts. I met with Tony when we first got back in February, March last year, but it's just we've been trying a different reason, sometimes our problem or sometimes the schedule with the church, but now we're finally here. And so I want to say thank you again, and if you have any questions, I'll give you some time to ask questions, or I can explain anything more about the ministry in Peru or also about our plan, our work.
So you mentioned several specific prayer points for the work in Peru. And you've mentioned a lot of things going on with your family here that you can certainly use prayer for. Are there specific prayer points for you all as a family that we can be praying for?
You have any, Meg? You want to add?
Adjusting to living back here has been great. Children have done well in school. Just realistically, in Peru, I didn't have that much official work outside the home. You know, there was one year I was president of the school board. Wore that hat for a year. I've done different things with the mission, but this year I think a big point of transition has been that I'm not at home as much anymore. So maybe just continued prayer for that and wisdom for us as parents to keep shepherding our children, even though it looks a little different than before.
Yeah, this coming year, everybody at RTS tells me that once this cohort starts in the counseling program, it gets very intense. And so that is a prayer request for combining with what Meg just said about us shepherding our children while we're both busy in this this work. Let's pray for our children as they grow up and as the Lord would work in their hearts and their lives, walk in his ways.
So the medical part of it, the clinic that they have, is that staff locals or that is that a missionary-driven clinic?
It's staffed by locals. A local doctor is the responsible doctor for the clinic. And then the Peruvian nurses, Peruvian lab techs or microbiologists in the lab, and they're all Peruvians. So we have had volunteers working in the clinic, and one of our prayer requests is a U.S. doctor to come and work alongside and teach and and work in the universities along with the university ministry and work in the medical school in Trujillo. We have had support connections with Samaritan's Purse, and they have gotten on board and excited about what we're doing, donated equipment and made donations, especially during COVID. They helped a lot with COVID, with relief. We were providing oxygenators. That was the biggest problem, is so many people couldn't get oxygen tanks because they were all being used, and people were dying for the lack of oxygen. So we were able to provide, because of donations, we were able to buy 5 oxygenators, and they were constantly being used during the height of even Pastor Ricardo and his wife Dani were very critical for a time. So Samaritan's Purse would provide on a whole nother level if we had a U.S. doctor on staff. They actually would provide a, I don't remember if it's a fellow or a...
It's like a grant.
They would give a grant to pay for the doctor to do the work, to pay for his expenses, if there were somebody who would come and work with our ministry. So we've been looking for that, praying for that.
Could I ask the children what has been more difficult or less difficult or more fun or less fun about y'all's transition, pardon me, back to the States?
Yeah, if they'll say something. You want to say something, Ezra? I see it looks like on your face. You got something. Can't hear you. I can tell in your face that you've got something. I would say that's a prayer request, because a lot of times we ask them and we don't know. And I think there is stuff going on that it's hard to talk about or answer. I know there's some things that they miss from Peru, the fresh fruit that we got.
And some of the dishes that we grew to love in Peru.
The food in Peru is very similar but different from Louisiana food. The Peruvian workers will say lunch isn't lunch if there's not a big ball of rice on their plate. Everything has to have rice. And I remember my dad saying that. It's not a meal if there's not rice in it. But they call it Creole, Criollo, but it's not Louisiana Creole flavor. It's a different flavor, different peppers, different things. But it's also influenced from Creole. And so it's a neat similarity with Peruvian food, some of it.
I think just like Tommy left a really dear friend that they talk regularly. Thanks to technology, friendship category that was a little different because our last term, the boys didn't really connect with really anybody because of the whole COVID thing. They did virtual school in Peru for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And we had good friends that we would see regularly in the church or activities.
You miss people, you know, that you were close to. So I think that's just a loss that I've seen each child. It's hit them at different times or something, you know, triggers a memory, a birthday card. That's normal. But there's times where it's hard, you know.
Y'all want to say anything, kids? You know, one thing I think about is missions report or being missionaries, and there is a very real sense that we are all called as Christians to be missionaries. We are all called to be on mission for the gospel wherever we are. And I think when we've come back, we don't cease to be missionaries on that level. We're still called to serve the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim his glory, his cross, and resurrection, and our building the new creation, working towards the new creation as we are building community, building the city of God, proclaiming the gospel. We're all called to be missionaries in that sense. But there is another sense of missionaries, of being cross-cultural, living in another place, in another culture, another world, and giving up things. And that is a different level of something that we've seen now coming back, that it's also hard, and maybe in a different way, reverse culture shock, learning how to live where we have changed, but the culture hasn't, and we feel different, and feel like we don't fit anymore, and we didn't fit there, and part of it was like, let's go back home where we will fit, but we don't fit back home either because we've changed. And so there is a dynamic to that. And I think God calls missionaries to go do that because we learn more about our own home culture, but also because he uses us to contribute to the work in those places where he calls us. And so there is a need to go. Even though we sense that there's a need here and we sense that God has called us back here to serve the work here in this state, but in the U.S., the country too. But we still recognize the call and the need for missionaries, for God to raise up other people who are ready to go and live in another world, in another place, another culture, another place, to contribute the work, contribute to the building of Christ's church.
All right,
all right, let's pray. Almighty Father, we do praise you and thank you for Faith Presbyterian Church here in Clinton and for all the family members here. We pray that you would continue to bless them and equip them to serve you in Clinton and around Louisiana. We pray that you would be glorified through them. And we thank you for their work and for their support of missions, their support of the work in Peru, as well as in many other places and other missionaries, obeying your call to go and to make disciples of all nations. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to use us, to let us be a part of what you are doing in your world and how you are building your church around your world. And we pray that you would come back and make all things new, that you would restore your creation to yourself, that you would continue to sanctify us and to put death to death, sin in each of us, and continue to bring to life the new creation in each of us as you are working by your Spirit in us. We do pray that you would continue to let us be a part of your work, that you would come back and make all things new, and that you would build your church and enable us to clearly proclaim your glory, to show this light of your glory to the world. And we pray that your light would work in us, enable us to see your face more clearly. And as we worship you this morning, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the podcast of Faith Presbyterian Church here in Clinton, Louisiana. Check our website, faithchurchclinton.org, for more teaching and for our current schedule of events if you'd like to drop in. We pray this recording has been a blessing to you. Go in peace.